Good morning. In the ringing of the bells, the steadfast love of the Lord lasts forever. The unfailing hope of the Lord is like prayer and song in the heart. Clothed in Christ, we are made right by faith. Belonging to Christ, we are one in Him. Promised as children of Abraham to inherit God's love, we are the bridge in this time and in this place to the generation who seeks welcome. On behalf of Concordia United Methodist Church, I want to welcome each and every one of you to this worship service this morning. A special welcome to our guests. We have an attendance pad that's in the center aisle and the pews, and you can pass that along and sign. Also, in the back of the pews, you will see blue prayer request cards. If you know that there's someone in need of prayer and you want them lifted up, please fill that out, and you can put that in the offering plate. Please note our announcements this morning. First of all, happy birthday to Genevieve Von Walt, who will celebrate tomorrow and turn 87, and also to Doug Hamilton, who will turn 83.
Just a minute. I heard that there's a mistake with that.
Uh-oh.
Doug isn't 83.
What is he?
He told me not to say.
Oh. So does that mean it must be? Sorry, Doug. Okay, let's move on. Please note the loose coin offering for September and October will go to the Madison Hospital Chaplaincy Program. And the next is, how is it with your soul? If God is calling to you to take this step of faith and to be a part of this small discussion group, contact Sue Evans, and her email address is in the bulletin. The outreach committee will be collecting coats and other winter items for children and adults. You can place them in the box near the kitchen by November 12th. Also, fellowship sign up to serve or bake. And there's a on the bulletin board in the fellowship hall, and that's for our coffee hour, that's before service. Women on UMW, please take note of the announcements that are gonna be up and coming. Today at 1 o'clock will be the Suicide Loss Survivor event that will take place at Meyer Oak Grove in Sauk City, that's near the Cenex gas station. And also, we will be serving our community meal today at church at 4 o'clock. Now stand as you are able for singing Jesus Loves Me in the red hymnal, page 191. Join me in our praise. Break down the barriers that divide us, O God.
Tear down the walls of hostility and
Melt the barbed wire of anger and hatred.
Breathe new life into your people, O God.
For we are called to newness in Christ Jesus.
We are all brothers and sisters through God's love.
Come, let us worship the God who removes obstacles from our paths.
Let us praise God who seeks to unite us in peace.
Now in the black hymnal, page 2051, I was there to hear your mourning cry. Please join me in our prayer. Open our hearts today, O God, to feel the powerful strength and love you have for us. Help us to listen, not only with our ears, but with our spirits for your words of compassion and healing. Enable us as your faithful disciples with the desire to constantly reach out for you, and equip us to live into your vision and hope for your world. Hear our prayer. Amen.
I invite the young ones to come on up to the front of the church. Or come on down. You know what this is for?
Baptizing.
Baptizing, that's right. Yep, he's right. Okay, you want to slide over here a little bit? They won't be able to see you, but I'll see you easier. Okay. I wanted to talk with you this morning about rules. Do you have rules?
Yes.
You have to follow rules? Yep. Do you know what the rules are? What we call the rules that we learn in Sunday school? You know what those are called? No, there's 10 of them. Do you remember what those are called? 10? You got it. Yep. There's 10 commandments. And we have those that we live by, right? Or we try to live by those. And then are there rules that you have to follow in school?
Yes.
Like what are some of the rules?
No running in school.
No running in school? What else? Rules in school? No running in the halls, okay.
No yelling.
No yelling.
No screaming.
No screaming? Really?
No.
I've heard some of that outside.
Outside.
Oh, you have an outside voice and an inside voice.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. What about, oh, never mind. That doesn't happen today anymore. You know, when I was in school, and this was, you know, like last millennium, but we used to have, write with chalk. You guys wrote with chalk this morning, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. It was chalk. And they wrote on a, it was called a blackboard. Okay? And then you erased it. And what was really fun is you were supposed to take the two erasers and go outside and clap them together and it creates this dust. Okay? But if you were just a little bit naughty, you would clap them in someone's face. You think there was a rule against that? There was a rule. And then you get disciplined if you break the rule, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now we need rules, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Even adults live with rules. Do you know that there's a rule that says in certain areas you're not supposed to drive over 55 miles an hour? That's a rule, yeah. And in town there's a rule like 35 miles an hour. And you know what happens if you go over 35 miles an hour when you're going out toward the hospital? There's a sign there. And you know what happens if you go over 35?
What?
It flashes at you.
What?
That's what I'm told. I've never experienced it. Okay, I have experienced it. So everyone lives by rules, right? Okay. What the scripture's about today is talking about the rules or the way to live that get put inside of us. It's like written on your heart, okay? Do you know some of those rules? What does your heart tell you to do?
Good.
Your heart, okay, so you've got the be good one. What else does your heart tell you to do?
Be helpful.
Be helpful, okay. Does your heart ever say, give mom and dad a hug?
Yes.
It does say that? Oh, good. I like that message from the heart. Are there other messages from the heart like that? Like, read your sister a story. You don't have any sister. Okay. Okay. You do. Does your heart ever say that to you? But now she knows how to read too, doesn't she? Yeah, so it doesn't say that as often. Okay, but so we've got these rules, and that's what the scripture is about today, is how these rules are written on our hearts so that we know how to do some things. We know how to follow some rules. And when it's inside of us, then Paul is saying that's how we know how we're to live with one another. Okay? So I want you to listen to those rules today. Will you try to do that?
Yeah.
See what your heart is saying to you.
Okay?
Okay? Will you say a prayer with me?
Yes.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
For the rules.
For the rules.
For the Ten Commandments.
For the Ten Commandments.
And for the rules that Jesus taught us.
And the rules
at school.
At home,
and in church.
They help us
to live together peacefully. Amen. Okay, now, just a minute, just one moment. Ouch. Okay. If you are in second grade or younger, and you would like to go downstairs, you can do that now. And if you're in second grade or younger, and there's one of these downstairs for you. If you're staying up here, I will give you one. Are you staying up? Okay. Are you going down?
Oh, okay. Okay, then do. Well, I'll just give you one of these, even though you're too young for it.
Yeah, I can do it.
Oh, you can do it, huh? Can you do it too? I bet you can. Okay. All right, so you can go sit down now. And I've got two extras. Sam? No. You want some? Just kidding, Sam.
Our first scripture reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verses 25 through 29. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are in Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now the choir will sing.
Think about it not only for those obvious things, but think about how you might portray evidence of God's grace in your life to people that you meet in your everyday life. And let the words sink in as the music ends. Just have a little contemplation of that. Thank you.
So many lives are empty, so many walk alone.
From the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. These are the words spoken by Christ. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Wouldn't it be cool if we were accepted, if we were welcomed just as we are? Paul tells us today, and John tells us today, that that is our reality. Paul had been speaking about the law, how that was given to the Hebrew people as God's chosen. And as he was speaking about the law of Moses, we need to remember the world in which he lived as well. Because the Hebrew people were subjected to another law, a law that was often unjust to them, favoring Roman citizens over those who had been co-opted by Rome for their use and abuse. The Hebrew people, again, we're subject to another authority. They lived in a world that was ruled unjustly, foisting its superiority on the inferior understanding and knowledge that was deemed true of the Hebrew people. They were certainly less than the people of Rome. And we know that the law of Moses was intended to guide the Hebrew people, God's chosen, that God was using them to show the world what a society, what a culture looks like if they're following God's vision of this world. It would be a place of justice. But we know that didn't happen. So Paul is giving them this good news that he has discovered, because he was a good Jew and now he's a Christ follower. That in Christ, the kingdom of God is opened to all people. Now, for people who had been Jewish, this would have been good news, because they were seeing the fulfillment of the promise that was made to Abraham and on down the line. But for Gentiles, for people who had been on the outside forever, for them to hear this, to know that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female. Those things don't matter, Paul says. What matters is what's here. What matters is the Spirit. And Paul says there's new freedom in this. And that new freedom includes that Christianity can go directly to the world. They don't have to go through Judaism and then to Christianity. They can go straight to jail. I mean freedom. Go straight to freedom and live that. He says the law was necessary for a while, but to live by faith is superior to that. Now, it's not only Paul who struggled with what this meant, Martin Luther in his time. It was different issues, but they were caught in that works versus faith issue in that time, and he tried to reinterpret that or make it more honest as he was a priest in the church. And I think that this issue just kind of comes up again and again to remind us that we are indeed free. That we are not bound by works righteousness, but that our condition are in the presence of God is based on faith. In God's reign, justice is blind. And isn't that good news? Because we know that justice in our culture kind of peeks through that blindfold. And justice is often prejudiced. We know that there are vulnerable people who do face manipulation in our system, and their hopes are often dashed, and their fears are very real. When dealing with our justice system, we might pray for wisdom and courage and insight rather than blindness. Our experience confirms that status and gender and income and race and age do matter and are considered when we are being judged. Experience tells us that justice at its best does not save us. Freedom does not just liberate us from such things as greed and pride and wrath and gluttony and envy and sloth and lust. Those are the biggies. They don't just free us because of our humanity. Those things sneak back in. And so we do miss the mark at times. But Paul tells us that there is a new freedom that Christ has set out before us. And it's not something that we have to, there's not a list of things that we need to accomplish before we have that freedom, that it is already accomplished, that Christ has done it, and that it's ours. When faith in Christ is revealed to us, there is no rule, no law that has more power. So Paul is speaking with newly baptized Christians, and he's telling them about this open door through which they can go. He's saying we don't have to deal with the question of the Judaic law. Christ has more power. And today I'm saying we don't have to deal with the formulas that we've added onto this in our time. In seminary, we struggled. We had discussions over whether someone was baptized if we said Creator, Christ, and Sustainer rather than Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There were some among us who believed that those words needed to be spoken, and some among us who said it's the Spirit rather than the words. And it does not matter, as some places teach, how we are baptized. Now, I know that immersion has a lot of meaning for people who get baptized as adults. I can understand how that would be meaningful. But it's not the only true baptism. It doesn't matter by which baptism you were baptized. And we know this now, but when I was a child, we didn't know this. Protestants didn't know this. Catholics already had their own understanding. You know, you don't have to read the King James Version of the Bible. Be reading the Word of God. And there was a time that we believed that. What Paul is saying is what is of import is that when we are baptized, we put on Christ. We put on His mind. We put on His righteousness. And what is of import to the Galatians and to us is that when we are baptized, we have, this is good news, we have the same Spirit connection to God the Father, God the Creator, as Jesus did. We talk about the connection that He has, and that is ours as well. Now, I think we find, I know that we have more difficulty staying in that. But that is what is offered to us. To all who receive it by faith, water and spirit, we receive those invisible means of grace. God has done all that is necessary for every one of us to be a child of God. God has done it. And when we come to baptize, the reason we don't rebaptize is because baptism is something that God does. It's not the pastor. It's not the person. It's not me who opens grace. It is God who offers that to us. And isn't that good news? Because we're not dependent on anyone else to receive the grace of God. We don't need Gordon to give it to us. God has already done it. We don't need Emily to do it. That just happened to be husband and wife. That was a fluke. God has already given it to us. It's God's gift. And we celebrate that gift this morning. Amen. Would you turn to page 39 in the hymnal?
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. This morning, I present to you Ethan Collins Carney for baptism. Would you come up? I invite Ethan, his parents, and those who would like to stand with them as he is baptized to come forward. Hi, buddy. Hi, buddy. You remember me? Stand around here. Hi, how you doing? To the parents and sponsors, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If you do, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do. Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept Christ's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. One of the ways that we are a bridge is in our welcome through baptism. Tim and Rita live in Green Bay, and we don't know if they're going to come back to this congregation when he's done with school. But they go from here to a congregation in Green Bay. And so we are, in this way, a bridge to that United Methodist Church there. So do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the Lord, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under
He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism and in the baptism of his death and resurrection, to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit and bless this gift of water and this one who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father. What name do you give your son? Ethan Collins. Hi, buddy. Oh. Ethan Collins, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Would you lay your hands on him, please? Ethan, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you may grow to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. You like baths, huh? There we go. Now you can say hello. Say hi. Look at those folks out there. I'll take that back. He likes that thumb, huh? On the top of page 43, now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ through baptism. Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. This is his certificate, a gift from the congregation, and a gift from the South. Okay, thank you. Bye. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us be zealous in shouting our praises to the Lord. Remembering the strength of God's love and the promise of Christ's help, let us share who we are as the church in the world. With open arms, let us join with one another as we express our faith through our gifts of love. I invite the ushers to come. Thank you.
us pray together. Justified by faith, we are clothed.
You may be seated. Let me share with you that we want to keep in our prayers the family of Kathy Keene. Kathy is a sister of Renee's. She has been on dialysis for a number of years, and it was in the hospital, and so her death was unexpected, but we want to keep her in our prayers. We want to keep in our prayers the victims of the hurricanes in Puerto Rico, in Texas, in Florida, the victims of the earthquakes in Mexico. Prayers for Susan Canton, who's got cancer. Okay, thank you. You were going to get me her last name. Okay, Susan, yeah, who's dealing with those issues. For Wayne Davis, he's looking for work. Thankful for prayers answered for Frankie and Aaron Peterson. And for Ray? Faye Mount Martin. That he makes good choices. Okay, let us pray. Lord, we hear the stories from the Bible that teach us about Christ's healing power, and that healing that comes both physically and spiritually. Sometimes we think that we can never be forgiven by God. We want to measure our sin on a grand scale. It is difficult to receive, but help us to receive the truth of your constant mercy. Heal us that we would be open to the needs of others. There is so much that we can do, and there is too much for one of us to do alone. And so we might become paralyzed or fearful. Sometimes we make bad choices out of fear or discouragement. So, gracious God, we pray that you would ease our hearts and give us strength and courage, that we would be active witnesses for you in a world that needs you, for families that are grieving, for people whose homes have been ripped away from them, for those who are facing illnesses and treatment, for those who are looking for jobs, for wars and rumors of war. Hear our prayer.
Help us to believe in your abiding love, that all of our prayers are answered. Help us to so trust you that we willingly place our lives in your care. Heal us. Restore us. We ask in Jesus' name, and we pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you turn to hymn number 611, Child of Blessing? Please stand. Blessing upon blessing on us, in the spirit of God's unchanging love, live the stories of faith we have heard this day. In the melody of God's song within us, sing the faith that we have received this day. In the hope of God's unfailing help, share the grace we have touched this day. Go and tell the world how much God has done for you. You are healed, you are sent to serve in God's world. Go in peace, and may God's peace be with you always. Amen.